today.
This one was just a really good, even shaking, as if we were like a little marble in a jar being shaken back and forth. So it was pretty strong here. By the time I kind of got my whole emergency situation complete in my head, it was over. It was very quick here.
Nobody wants to be the marble in the jar. It's an earthquake, Los Angeles. Just before people are getting ready to go to work, the early morning crowd anyway, right around 6:30, and it kind of shook some nerves and some people up big time, 4.4 magnitude. That's where we start in one of the nooks and crannies anyway, here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So it was centered just a couple of miles from Encino, to be specific, 15 miles west of the downtown Civic Center, to give you kind of an idea. If you see in your mind and you've ever seen a shot of Los Angeles downtown, you know, L.A., is a sprawling area, but the big, tall buildings, think of that. And they say it was a typical quake in Southern California. They thought the damages would be slight, if there were any damages at all. People could feel the shaking. They could feel their house kind of jolt in some cases. Dogs got upset, their hair standing straight up and jumping out of beds in some cases, and shivering because the dogs can sense it and feel it. But that was it. A few things fell. People reported things falling from shelves a little bit, but certainly not like the Northridge quake that hit Los Angeles. That was 6.7. This was 4.4. To give you an idea to compare the two, the Northridge quake caused about $25 billion in damages, and that was two decades ago when that happened, and, of course, killed several dozen people. Was terrible. It was one of the worst ones that they had had in a long time in L.A. This was a much different situation. People felt it. They were concerned. People that were on the air ducked under tests, and the cameras were just sat on them. But that's all that happened, and there was five aftershocks after that. Interesting, it's just on the heels of that Chilean shakeup, but that was off the coastline, and that was a 7 on the Richter scale, but no tsunami, none of that kind of stuff, and no reports of any loss of life. So not anything like that in Southern California either. Just rattling some nerves. Rattling some nerves and getting people in Los Angeles to talk about their buzz in the backyard, which was, did you feel anything? What was it like? Did you lose it? Did anything fall off the shelves? What happened to the dog? What about the kids? What happened? Were you in the shower? Were you cooking breakfast? Did your curtains sway? What did it feel like? When I lived in California, there was an earthquake, and I was just outside of Santa Barbara. I was in the newsroom. It was an afternoon, and most of the people, it was a television newsroom, and most of the people in the newsroom were Californians, so somebody yelled out earthquake, and they all kind of dashed, kind of ducked under desks and whatever, and I had no clue. And it was a weird kind of swaying sensation. And we were centered way away from the epicenter, but we could feel it. It was just a sort of a sway, and that was a 5.6, something like that on the Richter scale, and we weren't that close, and we felt it is kind of a crazy thing that you live with in California, and in the United States, it's got to be one of the worst places for earthquakes, although we've seen some oddities with earthquakes in a few other areas as well. Depends on those fault lines. That's what they're looking at, the fault lines. All right, so whose fault is it, what happened in the Ukraine? It's not a surprise that the Crimea has gone the direction of, in that referendum, has gone the direction of Russia. It seemed like the people were undoubtedly going to land there because of the fact that so many of them had the Russian background and were unhappy with the situation in the Ukraine. So now the fallout is sanctions on Russian officials over Crimea. But will that be enough to mean anything? And what does that mean? We heard the promise of that Monday morning, and it's really the inner circle of Vladimir Putin, but not even the president himself, freezing their U.S. assets. That was what the power of the executive pen did, the White House announcing that, the response, meaning all the people in the inner circle, any kind of U.S. assets, forget about it, freezing all of his cronies out, Putin's cronies, and barring them from traveling, in fact, to the U.S. And then there were a handful of Ukrainians that were also sanctioned in this. So nothing about military assistance to the Ukrainians, nothing about the sovereign nation and the boots on the ground by the Russians, all the things that we had heard before, just the response of freezing the U.S. assets of and of some of the inner circle of Vladimir Putin, but not Putin himself. He wasn't included in that. There were sanctions against separatist leaders in the Crimea and the former president of the Ukraine, who fled, as you know. So they're talking about possibly expanding them, but this is the extent of it now. The president's saying we're making it clear there are consequences for their actions. And he spoke just hours after the parliament declared the region an independent state, following the overwhelming vote on Sunday to break away from the Ukraine and to join Russia. Obama thinks there's still a path to resolve the situation diplomatically, but said that the expanded sanctions will increase the costs on the people responsible for the standoff. It seems highly unlikely. So what does it mean? It means the U.S. kind of, I guess, in a holding pattern with this. And what about the European Union and what's their take on what's happened for out of Moscow at this point? I think they have to put pressure. If this is a serious thing, you got to put the clamps on Putin and the accomplices, you know, accomplices, not just the accomplices, because of the aggression, and that's the conversation, could go well beyond the Crimea, well beyond that. I think that in Russia, they're just mocking. And on Twitter, it's apparent. They're just mocking what those sanctions are. So they don't seem to be that concerned about it. In fact, one of them, and I think this has been tweeted out all over the place, is Comrade Obama. And what will you do with those who have neither accounts nor property abroad? Or didn't you think of that? So then it makes you wonder, well, how many of them even have that situation? But the White House is sure that there will be some individuals who have influence in the Russian government who are responsible for the situation who will feel the pinch. But to me, it's going to have to be a much bigger way to slap down Russia if it's going to mean anything of advancing further into the Ukraine and trying to take up more territory. What do you think? Walk softly and carry a soft stick? I don't know. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Meet you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hey, everyone. Have you heard about the no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey, gals, I love talking about my no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the no-no, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible no-no hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
The authority exists to apply sanctions to a variety of individuals and entities. We're going to evaluate what the right step is as this situation evolves. We're not going to rule out individuals or rule out actions. People say crazy things on TV all the time.
All right, so that's Jay Carney fluffing it off to, hey, we're not going to rule anything out at this point. You heard what I said. It's the inner circle, the cronies, if you will, of Putin, that they're putting the clamp on, and then some of them are tweeting out there, do you think that we all care about that because we don't all have property in the U.S.? So continuing to drill down that lane, Putin supposedly is going to respond to these sanctions with his own list, with a bunch of U.S. senators and some others who are going to be banned from visiting Russia. On that list, it includes Senator Dick Durbin. That's been rumored to be, anyway. And there are going to be some other people on the list. Probably, it's not confirmed, but probably Robert Menendez, the senator from New Jersey, Bob Corker, the senator from Tennessee, and then the leaders of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, who are leading, of course, the conversation about the sanction drive in the Senate. That makes sense. That's not a surprise. They're just going to do a tit-for-tat kind of thing, single out enough people, I suppose, and kind of match it up. And what they're saying is this is just the initial step, which is pretty much what you heard Jay Carney say there, that there could be more increased sanctions, and it would include, and this is where there would be some complaints. It would include Russian business leaders and some other institutions that are supposedly aiding, or would be determined anyway, to be aiding the people implicated in the Crimea invasion. So the people that are tied to that. And that's what they're looking at right now. Guarantee, you know what they're doing? They're playing follow the money and looking to see who's tied to what before they clamp down on that, whoever it is. They'll wait to see where that money's coming from. So that vote, though, 95% approval vote. And at the top of our last hour, we talked to Zach Badorf, who was actually there for the vote, and said it was pretty intimidating what was happening. I mean, even though it was quite clear that it was overwhelmingly pro-Russia crowd and it was overwhelmingly going to go that way, so that's not a surprise, but it was intimidating to journalists and other people and to anybody who was going to vote the other way. It was certainly intimidating by what was happening in and around the whole voting process. But, of course, you have so many soldiers with guns. What do you think it's going to be like? It's going to feel that way. And it did feel that way. So what does this mean for the rest of the Ukraine? Does that mean there's going to be Russians, troops moving further in? Of course, there is that possibility that there could be a huge push for that. Coming up on America Tonight, by the way, I want to make sure I set the table for you. Connor Kanin, who is a incredibly funny humorist, an Irish humorist, joins us to talk about St. Patrick's Day and the luck of the Irish, and is there really the luck of the Irish, and that kind of stuff. It seems that the wearing of the green is definitely big here in the United States and elsewhere, but certainly in some cities like Chicago and New York, and even Savannah is one of the biggest places, I've mentioned this before, to go and celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It's a huge place to be. In fact, they have lots of different things that they do, that they offer in the city to honor St. Patrick's Day. It just became a big celebration there. Isn't that interesting? Not that they don't have people of Irish descent. They do. But the fact that that became one of the top five in the country is actually pretty wild, I think. So Connor, with some levity, coming up round the bend here on ATN. Now that the Crimea secedes, now what's next, I think, is the big question, since they voted over the weekend that they're going to remain an autonomous region or area of the Ukraine or join the Russian Federation was the big deal. So they join a number of countries and areas that just, you know, are trying to secede from what they view as oppressive governments. So the overwhelming vote to do that from the Ukraine now puts them in that situation where we also have the possibility of a conflict with Russia that we haven't seen since probably the height of the Cold War. And now the questioning of the legality of the referendum. And then the question of how deep should the U.S. go in this fight? Should this be a big deal for us? In other words, do we care what happens in this area thousands and thousands of miles away? I mean, you know, there was an occupation in that area, but so many of the people were loyal to Russia in a sense anyway. So is this democracy? Was it rigged? Does it matter? Should we refocus our energy on something else other than what's happening there? I mean, these are legitimate questions. And now you got these sanctions on a few select people in Russia. And will it matter? Because the global trade is just too much of an economic boon to all sides of this, to Russia and to the United States. So I don't see how that they would change that. It's all about show me the money, right? Show me the money. So if we were to step in further to this, we would be cutting all of that out. And Putin is addressing Russia's parliament Tuesday. He's going to announce, I'm certain, that the Crimea is joining Russia. So Russians and Crimeans have been waving flags for the last month and a half. And what will these sanctions that are being imposed really do? Will they just be ignored? Does it really matter? And what about the U.S.? Should we really care? I mean, Putin couldn't be in a more popular place among his own people right now. I think especially with this whole thing in the Crimea. So would we really push for any kind of a military option? I don't think so. There are economic sanctions pressing him a little bit, Putin a little bit diplomatically, but he's not going to do anything unless he thinks his whatever he does is going to have devastating consequences. So does he really realize, does Putin really realize the danger? If at all, freezing the assets of a couple of officials close to him is just a little bit of a warning shot. Telling him to back off, I suppose, but it seems that Putin, I think, is the guy that he needs it right in front of his face. I think he acts like the cronies do, is that this is no big deal, especially since as the leader of Russia, he is still intact. He's not suffering any consequences personally as a result of it. So at least some action was done, but I don't think it's enough to deter Putin from maybe going further into the Ukraine. And now getting the peninsula is absolutely what he wanted, and there were people that wanted that to happen, so it was inevitable, like I've been saying, that that was going to be the outcome of it. But the sanctions, unless they go deeper, will not really have much of a punch to it. Not much of a threat. And maybe that's it, figuring out how to threat without being ridiculously overbearing, because it doesn't work on the money side. Doesn't work for the U.S., it doesn't work for the European Union for sure, and it doesn't work for Russia. Connor Kanin in the wings next here on America Tonight.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
One of the funniest guys around. He's the author of Why Ireland Never Invaded America. He's an award-winning humorist. He's all about Irish, and he's living in Chicago, where they turn the river green, of all things. So Connor Kinnean is in our virtual green room. We spared no expense. I think we left some Guinness there. Hey, Connor, thanks for coming on the show again.
The virtual green room, I like that phrase. Hi, Kate. Hi to all of your listeners, and happy St. Paddy's Day.
So St. Patrick's Day, here's my question for you. I just was in Dublin a year and a half ago, and the people in Dublin were complaining to me that St. Patrick's Day was just such a hassle there, and they were so disappointed in the things that were happening lately in the last couple of years. So do we do it up bigger here than in places like Dublin, which I find hard to believe?
Probably not anymore, Kate. And I think what has happened is that when I was just a wee lad running around in shorts and pants kind of thing, St. Patrick's Day was a Catholic holiday. And believe it or not, the pubs were shut on St. Paddy's Day in Ireland. So the only way that people could get a drink was either at home, or what they used to really do was they would go around, sneak around to the back of the pub and go in for a few drinks then. But I tell you, that was what they used to happen. The cops kind of turned a blind eye, but theoretically, no pubs were open. And for quite some time, that was the way it ran in Ireland. But over the last 10, 15 years, the kind of American holiday festival has transferred over to Ireland for the St. Paddy's Day period. So now it's become a huge festival in Ireland as well, or spread over a few days rather than the one day kind of Catholic penance and religious fervor that the church tried to impose on us when we were younger.
There you go. I love that thing about the shorts and the no pubs were open and having to sneak around, but now it's changed a little bit. You know, here, of course, it's all about corned beef, and my full name is Catherine Shana Fitzgerald Delaney, so you can imagine my family came over in boats, literally, right, and you, I know it.
You're obviously from Poland or Czechoslovakia, yeah.
Yeah, or Italy. Sometimes people, are you Italian? No, not Italian, so.
Right.
But my family did always make corned beef and cabbage. Is that what you did growing up? Did you, is that the meal you ate in Ireland?
You know, it wasn't. And I had some friends over who were in last week for business that related to St. Patrick's Day from Ireland. And I asked one of them, when was the last time you ate corned beef? And she said, I don't think I ate it since I was 2 years of age, kind of thing. And it's one of, I swear, I tell people when I do, I get introduced as a, as you know, I do professional speaking. And when I get introduced as a professional speaker, I often say that Conor Cunningham has been force-fed more corned beef than he ever had in Ireland. that's kind of one of the myths that has developed over here, that we kind of eat corned beef for breakfast, dinner, and tea, but it's not really that situation as such.
What are some other big myths do you think that you've seen since now you've been living in America, the misconceptions maybe people have about the Irish?
You know, that's a good question, and as I've been talking to people today, I've been formulating a few thoughts on that. Probably the one that might bug me the most, Kate, is the people perceive that the Irish hate the English. Now, there might be some justification for given what England did to Ireland over 500, 600, 700 years. I mean, they really crucified the country and caused a lot of problems, forced a lot of people to emigrate, and you could blame them to some extent for the Irish famine. But today, though, I mean, Irish people do not hate the English. There's a very good rapport between Ireland and England on a business level and a personal level. And there's a gazillion English and British people come into Ireland every weekend for into Dublin, Cork and Limerick for great parties, etc. And similarly, Irish people go over to England. So that's kind of one of the ones that it's a myth that still survives. I'm not saying that some people don't hate the English, but in general, I think the relationship between Ireland and England is very good.
Do you think the other thing that people always say about the Irish is they're very lucky. Do you think that's true?
No, I do not think that is true. one of the Lennon said that if you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. Now, that was John Lennon, by the way, that said that. If you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. And Lennon's grandfather apparently came from Dublin and emigrated over to Liverpool. But I think, you know, one of the books that I've published is For the Love of Being Irish. And I do limericks, one limerick for each letter of the alphabet and a little bit of history. And L is for luck. And if you'd bear with me, I'll just read the limerick. And it goes, the Irish are lucky, they say, though history might suggest that's a nay. We had the Brits for a while, and they cramped our style, but with them we now work and play.
Very good, I like that.
So, I mean, that kind of, but it definitely when it came to the luck of the Irish, when I hear that phrase, I kind of say, do they not know about the potato famine? Do they not know about all of the immigration and all the various things that happened to Ireland over the years? But the Irish are an upbeat people, as you know. You've got that kind of personality yourself. And I think they've just spread so much around the globe and made a lot of people happy. Furious sometimes, maybe, but happy a lot of the time.
Do you have a favorite place in Ireland? I mean, there's so many wonderful places to go. I said Dublin, and a lot of people land in Dublin and head for other spots, Limerick, Cork, you know, etc. Do you have a favorite spot?
I do. Any place where they serve a good pint of Guinness, Kate. It's as simple as that. I suppose their favourite spot would be West Cork and places like County Kerry, Dingle and Kerry, Kenmare, Bantry, etc., in West Cork. I do think that when people go to Ireland, Dublin is a great city, but it's just, that's what it is. It's a great city. And if you're there, I've done a lot of cities, and Dublin is another city, but with a nice personality, definitely. So I encourage people to go to Cork, Kerry, Galway, etc., where they get some of the older and more traditional view of Ireland that is still existing in a lot of those places.
Yeah, having just gone there not too long ago, I would agree with that. To me, one of the can't-miss places is, even though people joke about the Blarney Stone, is to go to Blarney Castle, because when you go there, first of all, great Guinness at the cafe down at the bottom, but the grounds are incredible. There was so much I didn't realize about that. I mean, truly, you feel like you're in a fairy tale when you're on the grounds and you look back and you see the castle. Pretty incredible, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know, the point about that is, I was talking about when I was going around in short pants a few minutes ago, but when I got on long pants and started, as we would say back in Ireland, courting my wife, and I started walking out with my wife, we used to actually walk from Cork out to Blarney, which is about 3.5 or 4 miles. The things you do, like, when you were in love. I still am, mind you, I'm lucky. But so we actually have very nice reminiscence of Ireland. And coincidentally, if you want, the limerick I did for B is for Blarney in the book For the Love of Being Irish. And can I give it to you?
I want to hear that one. Yes, please.
Okay. All right. When you kiss the stone in County Cork, you'll be talking all the way to New York, New York. You talk faster and better in a suit or a sweater, whether with chopsticks, a knife, or a fork. Oh, boom.
Boy, so true. Although when you kiss the Blarney Stone, I didn't realize it took two Irish guys to hold you to make sure you didn't fly off the side of the castle.
That's absolutely true, yeah. It is quite kind of quaint, but it's a great tradition. And as you say, it's a lovely village, and only a few miles from Cork, where I kind of I'm from, or close to Cork. So it's a great spot, and it's one of those places that is, it's one of the things you need to have on your bucket list, definitely.
I absolutely agree. Connor, you're there in Chicago, so with your accent and whatnot, and when you're speaking, do people rush up to you and tell you how much Irish they have in them and where they're from and they're tracing their ancestors? Do you get that a lot?
I do quite a lot, and I mean, the one of the common kind of comments that I might say to people, I'm from County Cork, and you'll get a response like, oh, do you know the O'Sullivans? Or do you know the Delaney's kind of thing? And I mean, Cork is not huge by American standards, but the city is about 150,000 people, and the county might be 300,000, like, but yeah, I mean, it's great to be Irish in America. You're most welcome. This time of the year, it's just an amazing kind of an experience. And I think the Irish have brought a lot to America, but America has given a lot to Ireland as well, genuinely, in terms of economic development and things like that.
Yeah, well said. So, Connor, if somebody wants to get either one of your books, how can they do that?
Best way would be to go to Amazon and get them from there, Kate. I've actually got three books there at the moment. The spelling of my name, by the way, Connor, has only one N, because we couldn't afford two N's when I was back in Ireland, when I was being born, or christened. But also my website is Irishman Speaks, all one word, Irishman Speaks, and I tweet on Irishman Speaks as well, so I'll be tweeting in a few minutes time that I had a great chat with Kate on America tonight.
Awesome. Connor Kinnean, happy St. Paddy's Day. Thanks so much for coming on ATN.
And to you, Kate, take care. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Take care. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Self-reliance, survival supplies, survival skills, national experts. Get it all at the only free-to-attend national event exclusively for preppers. This spring in Tulsa, it's the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo. A must-be-there event. Presented by American Living. This massive expo will include special guests. David Mays from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers. Plus, GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach via live video conference. Hear Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and members of the American Prepper Network.
Network, along with many other leading national experts.
Learn life-saving tips, CPR, how to handle crisis situations,
walk through a bomb shelter, and much, much more.
Two big days, April 5th and 6th at the Tulsa Expo Square in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's April 5th and 6th. Doors open at 9 a.m. with absolutely free admission.
Don't miss the National Preppers and Survivalists Expo, America's largest emergency preparedness event.
Get your free tickets now.
NPSExpo.com.
That's NPSExpo.com.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
Hour of America tonight, kind of like a couple of these new drivers that are overtaking the top leads in NASCAR, the Sprint Cup Series drivers. Anyway, you know, it's all about the points. It seems it's the points in golf, too, the FedEx points. We were talking about a story the other day with a golfer named Sabatini, Rory Sabatini, who coughed so hard he kind of hurt himself, hurt his ribs and whatnot. But he was not getting off that golf course because he needed the points. He needed the points. So he was not moving. I'm not moving. I got to get these points. I got to get through these holes. That's all I can say. And, you know, we look at NASCAR because I know we have a lot of motorheads out there, by the way. You've got Dale Earnhardt Jr. in second place with 153 points. 153 points. That's the latest from the series. All right, a lot of you had thoughts on the missing plane and a couple of other things that are rocking the boat here across the United States and beyond our border. So without further ado, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Larry, who says, Kate, did you ever think of the whole cell phone thing? What do you believe? If they were hijacking the plane, did they ask everybody to turn their cell phones in and put them in a bag or whatever, threw them somewhere in the galley. It seems so odd, this whole kidnapping idea to me. It seems more realistic that there is an intentional grounding of the plane, but then there isn't any wreckage to find, but the Indian Ocean is deep and very, very long. I think you said it. Nothing but questions. And everywhere I turn and all of the talking heads, it's the same thing. Nobody knows a darn thing when it comes to this missing 777. Very strange indeed. My vote, by the way, is for terrorism. I think there was something up with that pilot and the co-pilot, and I believe that plane actually turns up somewhere. Yeah, turning up somewhere, though. That's the whole vagueness of it. Well, there's all these islands, and there's all these possibilities that they could have landed the plane. They could have landed the plane in one of those islands somewhere in the Indian Ocean. Of course, there's that possibility. But now, everybody and anyone is tracking this. I don't know. It's crazy. I said this already. Here's what I hope at this point, with all the speculation, oh, I'm an expert and this person is an expert. I've seen every talking head aviation expert you can possibly imagine. And at the end, they always say, these are some possibilities. It doesn't mean this is what happened. I hope for the sake of the people where they had brothers, sisters, cousins, you know, husbands, fathers. I hope mothers, aunts, uncles, you know, whatever the relationship was. I hope for the sake of the people that there is some sort of closure, because that would be a weird limbo thing. It would be a terrible thing. You think of losing loved ones and how gut-wrenching it can be. Somebody told me one time to be there for a birth and to be there as a loved one draws their last breath is a miracle, is an amazing thing and something that should be treasured. But what if you have no clue about what happened? That would be the worst. I used to think about that with the missing kids, because I remember when I was a kid, they were doing the whole milk carton thing, and you'd see these oftentimes cherubic faces of these kids, and you think, oh, you read the like story on the back about how long they were missing and when was they were last seen. It's just awful. And in a different way, it's, you know, the randomness of life. You step on this plane and then you don't step off that plane. So I hope we find out what it is. Okay, there's another interest in obviously, the Malaysian flight. Bill in Illinois. Hey, Kate, this is the third or fourth time, I think, that I've emailed the show. A 777 is so big. I think of the engines, and I think of what went into that from Boeing. And I find it just so hard to believe that there are no clues. I think that there's something that they're not telling us. I don't know the specifics of what that could be, but I believe it's related to terrorism because they're trying to put a lid on that part of it. And the Brits have uncovered a lot of information since this is kind of in their bailiwick, if you know what I mean, with the pilots, the pilot and the co-pilot. I think that's, in the end, what we're going to come up with, something related to some form of terrorism. I've been talking about this throughout these last couple of shows, and it's, if I were taking a guess, a stab at it too, and you said, okay, here's the choices. It's a hijacked plane, pilots committed suicide, plane just had a horrible misfortune and went off radar, was shut down, whatever, and then went out, or it was terrorism. Well, I'm going to vote for terrorism based on the information that's out there. And by the way, there's not much information you can get other than if you were in Malaysia trying to dig around all over the place with these pilots and whatnot. It's tighter than a drum. So I do think that there is info that's not out there that they're investigating. And who are the best investigators with this? Well, that would be the United States because we have the better equipment. Some of you have even called the show to say that. Jeff is listening to us in Washington. By the way, if you want to comment, even though we're on the mailbag segment, you can certainly do that. 855-266-5283. Hey, Jeff, what do you think it is?
You know, I'm not really sure, Kate, but I just wanted to kind of jump in on it. It kind of boggles me how, you know, we've got this whole NSA thing spying on all the Americans all over the country and possibly all over the world, why couldn't the NSA just kind of track down some cell phones? I'm sure these people on that plane had a cell phone or two. But I was kind of also wondering the same thing when this first thing happened was, who was on the plane? You know, released a full list of passengers to tell us who exactly was all on the plane?
They've released the nationalities. They've released information about people of interest on the plane, like the American who worked for IBM, and his family has spoken out and how they're worried, and his girlfriend has spoken out and that kind of stuff. As far as who else was on the plane, like the passports, the bogus passports, they've talked about that. And, of course, the pilots, the information on the pilots about their, you know, rabid one of them, the rabid connection to a terrorist and to a plot, a Malaysian airliner plot, and then this happens. So it makes you really think, well, okay, you've got a snitch reporting from an Al-Qaeda snitch reporting that this was something that he knew was happening or could happen because he heard it through the rumor mill, and then look what happens.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of, with all the technology we have nowadays, and planes don't just disappear, there had to have been some kind of foul play, you know?
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's just, there's no other option, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard some opinions of people thinking, oh, well, maybe a giant UFO picked them up out of the sky. Well, that seems to be the only other option I could think of, and I don't really want to go with that one.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't want to go with that one, Jeff. I'm not ready for that. I love sci-fi, and I love talking about it, and I love watching a lot of the National Geographic stuff, and we could go deep on this topic, and even watching a lot of the movies, but I don't want to really think about it. I'm with you, Jeff, great caller as always. So it's like he says, well, if the NSA can pick up all the things that they're picking up on us, for goodness sake, couldn't they jump on this information? They certainly could jump on the information, but are they involved in this? And, you know, there's some connections that we are loose connections that we don't know about. And the U.S. is heavily, heavily involved in the search, certainly with our ships and planes and knowledge and whatnot. I just hope they come up with something soon because time is more than ticking. We're into our second week. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained a leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.